Welcome to Monday Morning Moments, a weekly podcast dedicated to helping you make the most of the moments in your life. I'm your host, Mike Van Hooser. Today we want to talk about a specific role of leadership. In our research and experience, we've developed seven roles of leader that we feel like makes a transformational leader. And we do this in our Invisible Hand of Leadership workshop, and we often talk about this with organizations. And one of these roles is not the most visible role. There are certain roles that we have that are very visible and that you see and that people naturally gravitate towards. But the role we're going to talk about today is not one that most people gravitate towards or that they immediately give praise to or even recognize in the moment as a leadership role. And the role we want to talk about today is the leader as designer. The leader as designer. So if you think about it, I love great design, and I love when I see great design, maybe the design of a layout of a workspace. I get to go into different client environments and see that and see how people work effectively together, or the design of a great restaurant or food or things like that, but you don't often see the person who designed it. It's not often. Sometimes the chef will come to the table, but it's not often that you see the chef who prepared your great meal, but somebody put some time and preparation into it. And when you think about leadership, a lot of times this role is a behind-the-scenes role, but it's a very important role to play. So the leader's designer, we're going to talk about that today. So in thinking about that, that role is all about understanding strengths and leveraging opportunities. So if you get nothing out of the podcast today, understand that as a designer, if you're a leader and you're playing this role of leader's designer, it's about understanding strengths and leveraging opportunities. Great leaders who are great designers design the right systems and opportunities and plays, if you think about it from a sports analogy, that take advantage of the individual and collective strengths of their team and put people in a position to be successful and to make a positive and dramatic impact. So if you want to be a great designer and you want to get the most out of the team that you're influencing and leading, you've got to make sure that you understand their strengths and what they're uniquely qualified to do, and then leverage opportunities to be able to put them in a position, both individually and collectively, to be successful and to make a dramatic impact in maximizing their potential and accomplishing the goals that you want to accomplish. Again, many people don't gravitate to this role of designer, but I think there are a couple of reasons why the role of leader as designer is often ignored. As little credit goes to the designer. Usually it's the person who makes the play or makes the great presentation or things like that, but usually they're people that put those people in a position of success. If you think about a great basketball coach who calls a timeout and designs a play for his players to be successful, and then the players go out and execute the play, the person who gets the credit is the person who makes the game-winning shot. It's not necessarily the coach and say, wow, you really designed a great play there. Now, certain coaches get that recognition, but it's often more refined on the player who had to execute. And I think there's benefit and there's legitimacy to share success amongst both the coach or the person who designed the play and also the player who executed the play. And we've got to make sure that the leader's designer gets recognition around that. Also, the leader's designer is often ignored. That role is often ignored because the function of design is not obvious. It's rarely visible, and it's often behind the scenes. Most people who consider themselves a leader want to do the things that are out in front of people, that they're not behind the scenes, that people visibly see that, and they say, wow, that person's a leader. But I think there's a lot of things that we can do as a designer behind the scenes to coach and give feedback and to encourage and to strengthen others. And again, design effective systems and processes to put them in a position to succeed and then allow them to get the credit through that. Also, leaders who want to control, gain power, prestige, and praise and be the center of attention often find design an unattractive role. And there's certain leaders and organizations who want all the power and praise to come to them, and they don't want to design and spend time behind the scenes so that somebody else might get that credit. And that's not in a lot of organizations, but it's in more than we would like. And I think that's important to recognize. that's why people are not attracted, or you know, why the leader as designer is often ignored. But great designers, why are they attracted to the role of designer? A great leader who loves design, why are they attracted to this role? I think first, the leader's designer finds tremendous reward in empowering others and producing results that people care about and that make a difference. You don't care who gets the credit, and you find tremendous reward in empowering and enabling others to be successful. So if you're a successful designer in that role of leadership, you're going to find a lot of benefit in empowering and enabling others to succeed. Also, transformational leaders who are great designers find more significance and endurance in these rewards than praise given maybe to traditional old school leaders. So that praise and recognition is nice, but they just find more significance and endurance. And I use that word endurance. It enables them to have long-term staying power and a legacy of leadership when they find the benefits of setting people up for success, and it allows them to establish a deeper legacy in the organizations that they're in as well. Also, we find that people are attracted to this role of designer. They understand that today's results come from effective design work that's done in the past and even in the current state. They know that what I do today is going to set us up for success to tomorrow. So that's all about design and setting people up in the right systems and environments for them to succeed. And so the results that we have today from that were, you know, developed in the past, and the results that we're going to have in the future are all about design and designing effective systems to accomplish that. And then the final reason I believe that leaders are attracted to this design role is that they know that problems are not solved, they are dissolved. They're not solved, they're dissolved. So what that means is that they do things that proactively will just basically make problems disappear. They think about that in advance and think about the strategy they need to employ to dissolve those problems. They don't become problems anymore. And even when problems are faced, they've developed a good thought process of design that's going to help them to be successful, to where those just fade in the background and the obstacles and problems are disappear, and we're able to persevere through those and allow people to be successful and to accomplish those goals. I love the quote by Lao Tzu, who said, "Go to the people, live among them, love them, start with what they know, build on what they have, but of the best leaders, when their task is accomplished and their work is done, the people will remark, we have done it ourselves." And that, to me, signifies the role of the leader as designer. Somebody who goes, is with the people, sets them up for success, and sets them up to where they don't even realize that aspect of leadership, because they realize that something happened here, and it was the magic of the leader's designer that allowed us to accomplish what we did. And we were so glad that we were empowered and enabled to accomplish that. Designing is an art, and for leaders, it's the art of setting your people up for success. And to achieve this, leaders must understand the people, problems, and the goals associated with their team or organization. You've got to understand what the organization is facing in terms of problems, issues, challenges, the opportunities that are there, and then really discerning what are those strengths and talents of other people and their teammates to be able to address that and design the most effective organization. I believe the designer is a master architect who designs systems and plays and underlying structures which allow the team to succeed and perform at their best. And someone who works in this role behind the scenes is conceptualizing and formulating the direction and working with the team to achieve success. So let's talk about, what does a designer do? Well, I think one thing is they put the success of the team ahead of personal recognition. So if you're a great designer and you're effective in that role, you're going to put success of the team, the organization, ahead of personal recognition. I see this in sports all the time, that great teams come together when they put aside their individual need for praise and their individual need for success and recognition, and put team recognition ahead of that. So whatever those team goals are, they're all about that. And a great designer will put success of the team ahead of their own personal recognition. Also, designers design an effective environment for others to succeed. So I've mentioned that several times, but how do you do that? I think it's understanding, again, strengths of your people. So if a real practical step is that if you don't know your people well and the people that you're leading and influencing, really know what are their strengths and even more so, what are their passions as well, what energizes them, then you're not going to be able to design an effective environment for them to thrive. So part of it's getting to know them personally and professionally. What do they like to do outside of work? What are the most exciting projects that they tackle every day and they love to do and they're really good at it as well? Do you find ways to monitor that and watch them in action and see as they do an effective job in meeting with a client or tackling the strategy around a certain project or designing something, a new system that is going to be effective for people to use? Do you spend enough time with them to watch them and monitor that? I think a lot of times what happens is that leaders or managers get caught up in so many meetings and so many environments where they're away from people and they assign tasks to people, but they never watch them in action and really have an ongoing dialogue and feedback with them about what they're doing well. And so when it's time to assign tasks, you just make assumptions about what you think they like to do or what you think they're good at, but maybe don't go to a deeper level to really understand your people and put them in a position to succeed. And then also the environment. You have to, in order to design an effective environment for others to succeed, you have to know what's going on culturally. You have to know working relationships. You have to know issues about communication and the way people thrive and the operating principles that they need to work effectively together. And you've got to be willing to design things that will remove roadblocks from effective teamwork. A third thing that designers do is they discover the power of utilizing leverage. So they understand what are the leverage points and how can we make an impact. And sometimes these leverage points are not noticeable to other people or to, you know, if you just spend a little bit of cursory glance at something, you may not see the smaller points of leverage that you can impact. It may be something small like teams working together and getting information quicker to each other so that they can have it earlier to make certain decisions that will allow them to be effective in whatever they're doing, a new process that they're developing or a new system. It may be forms of communication. It may be contrasting goals that you have to make sure that the goals of certain teams that work across teams are congruent and they allow them to work towards the overriding goal of accomplishing team success or company success. And sometimes I've seen in organizations where people have competing goals versus congruent goals, and it's important to make sure that we leverage those opportunities to remove those roadblocks and to help people to put themselves in a position to succeed and work more effectively together. A fourth thing that a designer does is they possess a keen awareness of their impact. And this is not in a prideful way, a cocky way. It's in a humble way. They understand that if they can have an impact in certain things, and again, we're talking about design, so we're talking about behind-the-scenes work. If they can encourage somebody or give them a vote of confidence before they make a presentation or share with them reinforcement about something that they do really, really well, where they're going to thrive in that because, again, it's not always feedback, but when you give them successful feedback around something, that will encourage them and give them courage to do that more. But they understand, you know, the role that they can play, and then they're aware of that impact that it's going to have, that is going to have a broader impact beyond just themselves. And that's what designers are trying to do. They're trying to expand their production capacity in and through other people. And that's a key point of why you want to be a designer. And then a fifth thing that a leader's designer does is they understand the strengths and abilities of the team and design accordingly. So that summarizes some of the other things that we've talked about understanding people's strengths and then designing an effective environment accordingly. When I think about great designers, one of the people that I think about is Tex Winter. And you may not know who Tex Winter is, but you may know who Phil Jackson is. and Phil Jackson with coached Michael Jordan to six NBA championships. And then he also coached the Lakers to several championships as well, and they won five rings with him as the coach. But you don't know that, and you probably know Michael Jordan with the Bulls, you know Kobe Bryant with the Lakers, but Tex Winter was an assistant coach on both of those teams underneath Phil Jackson, and he was the designer of the triangle offense. It's the offense that Michael Jordan and his teammates thrived in when they finally started winning championships, and it's the offense that Kobe Bryant thrived in as well to win championships. And it was a behind-the-scenes role, and the triangle offense he taught for many years and these players and would take it to the next level and working with great players to help them succeed. But he didn't mind Phil Jackson or Kobe Bryant or Michael Jordan getting all the credit. Sure, he got some of the credit, and people who really know basketball and know coaching know him. But it was one of the things that made both of those teams very successful to accomplish their goals and maximize the potential of great players and also role players in those offenses and on those teams. And he was the designer of that offense. I also think about Jonathan Ive. And again, he's getting more recognized and more well-known. And you may not know him, but you know Steve Jobs. And you know Steve Jobs with Apple and everything he did, founding that company and being a great evangelist for their technology. But Jonathan Ive is a senior VP of industrial design at Apple. And he just got knighted. He's now Sir Jonathan Ive. But he was the lead designer basically for any Apple product that you've ever used. So the iMac, the titanium and aluminum PowerBook G4, the G4 Cube, MacBooks and MacBook Pros, the MacBook Air, the iPod, the iPhone, the iPad, anything that's come out has really had his fingerprints all over and his team of designers. And he didn't mind playing the background role when Steve Jobs was alive to come and announce some new technology. And again, now he's getting more exposure for what he's done and all of that, more in the limelight. But he loved playing that behind-the-scenes role and just thrived in designing great products and allowing his designers to really thrive in their environment as well. Effective leaders operating as a designer, I think, build organizations where people expand their capabilities to understand complexity, clarify vision, and develop effective mental models of the world. Let me read that again, because I think as you apply this, you know, if you want to be a designer, want to operate as a designer wherever you work, and it could be at home and in the community as well, you're trying to build a team or an organization where the people in that organization expand their capabilities to understand complexity, to clarify vision, and to develop effective mental models of the world. And if they're in a thriving environment that's been designed well, they're going to be able to understand complexity and discern that, to clarify vision on where they want to go, and develop effective mental models of the world, not only to solve problems, but to take advantage of opportunities and work effectively with other people. Effective leaders operating as a designer also are responsible for designing an effective learning culture. So if you want to very practically, you know, become an effective designer, you've got to design an effective learning culture, both for individuals and also for teams. And maybe it's instituting project debriefs, or after you roll out a project or a new strategy, or have a new client proposal or client system that you deliver on, whatever it is, creating opportunities for people to learn and to grow is very important. And that's a key question, I think, coming out of this podcast is, as a leader and as an influencer, are you designing an effective learning culture for everyone involved? Also, designers understand the power of leverage. We've talked about that. What is leverage? It's a change with a minimum amount of effort that leads to a lasting and significant improvement. So when we talk about leverage and leveraging things, it's finding that change, which with a minimum amount of effort is going to lead to lasting and significant improvement. So those are what you're looking for. I think when we look for leverage, a lot of times we look for bigger things that we think and sometimes falsely think will provide bigger impact. But sometimes it's the small things that are going to lead to a long and lasting effort, sometimes with a minimal amount of effort. And if we can spot those things, Maybe it's, again, the way people work or a certain measure that's going to motivate us to do the right things. It's going to lead to lasting and significant improvement. And those high leverage changes are typically invisible to most people. But the leaders as designers who are really good in this role identify what those are, and then they take advantage of that. Designers also learn to identify systems versus specific events. So if you want to thrive as a designer, you're going to look at in terms of systems versus specific events or just symptoms of a problem. You're going to look at the whole system of the problem and understand, okay, what's going on here and how does, when I do this, relate to an outcome? How does process relate to outcome and not just look at specific events, maybe just the outcomes? And you're going to look for opportunities to either design a more effective system or put a system in place that's going to be effective. And then another practical step as a designer is that designers identify the high leverage points in the system. So once you've defined a system or identified, well, here's the system in place, what are the high leverage points and how can I take advantage of those? When you think about people and you think about being a designer and what does that look like and think about legacy of your impact on people, I always think about this quote from Larry Bosty, who worked with Jack Welch at GE and was a former CEO of Honeywell and Allied Signal. He had this as a great question or series of questions in a leadership assessment. He said, how am I doing as a leader? The answer is, how are the people you lead doing? Do they learn? Do they visit customers? Do they manage conflict? Do they initiate change? Are they growing and getting promoted? You won't remember when you retire what you did in a certain quarter of a certain year. What you'll remember is how many people you developed, how many people you helped have a better career because of your interest and your dedication to their development. When confused as how you are doing as a leader, find out how the people you lead are doing, and you'll know the answer. And I think when we think about some of the summary points and application of being a great designer, a leader's designer, that's a great assessment. How are the people you lead doing? And are they able to grow in their careers and grow in their life to where they're doing the things that are going to make long and long-lasting and meaningful impact? And that's how you can look back and understand how you're doing as a leader. And are you designing the right environment for people to thrive and leave their own legacy of leadership and impact as well? I love this quote also by Peter Senge, who's the former director of organizational behavior at MIT, and he wrote several great books, one called The Dance of Change. And this quote is from that book. He says, the real role of executive leadership is not in driving people to change, but in creating organizational environments that inspire, support, and leverage the imagination and initiative that exist at all levels. If you want to be a great designer and somebody who can impact change, you're not going to drive them to change and say, we've got to change, but you're going to create an organizational environment, an atmosphere that inspires and supports and leverages the imagination and initiative that exists at all levels. Tom Peters asked it this way, are you unleashing the creative brain cells of the people around you? And if you're not, why not? And a lot of times we're stifling the creative brain cells of the people around us. We have to make sure as leaders that we're unleashing that. And again, it's a two-way street. People have to be engaged and they have to embrace the opportunity to do that. But our roles as leaders are providing environments where they feel like they can unleash their talents and unleash those that creativity and the creative brain cells to innovate and to do meaningful work. And I wanted to close out with this quote from John Maxwell from his book, The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. He said, achievement comes to someone when he is able to do great things for himself. Success comes when he empowers his followers to do great things with him. Significance comes when he develops leaders to do great things for him. But a legacy is created only when a person puts his organization into the position to do great things without him. And I would add, with whatever role of leadership that you're in, great leaders find ways to do this. They find ways to grow other leaders and grow a culture of leadership that allows their organization to succeed without them. And that's what we're trying to do in this role of leading as designing. So think about some of the things we've talked about today and how can you put some of these things into practice? Are you leveraging those high, are you taking advantage of those high leverage opportunities? And coming back to it, do you understand the strengths of your people and how are you leveraging opportunities for them to allow them to thrive? Again, there's resources that we have up on the website that can provide opportunities for you to engage in one of our workshops that we do. We cover this role of designing in the invisible hand of leadership, and we've been fortunate enough to do that with a lot of high-impact organizations and teams in sports, business, and life, and we'd love to come and do this workshop for you, but also put a program in place that would allow you to grow your leadership culture. So feel free to email me at mike@mikevanhooser.com, and we can talk more about some of the things that we do through Athenian Consulting Group and through the opportunities that we have to bring people into your organization to help engage talent and grow your talent, but also grow your leadership capabilities as well. Again, make the most of this week and make the most of your moments and just be a great leader. Let's go out and design opportunities for people to thrive this week.